worth stopping. When I was in college, I had a best friend that I happened to go to high school with, and we went to the same college on Long Island. And my friend was one of very few friends that I had who had a car. Now, I don't know if you remember those college days and getting around on your 2 feet and getting around without a car, but I bet if you think back for just a moment to the time when you did not have a car, that you were thankful for whatever car someone had around you. So my friend was blessed to have a car, but her car is what some would call today a jalopy. It was a mess. Her car was at least 15, it could have been 20 years old. It had rust all over the outside. Every time she wanted to do something or go somewhere, a spark plug didn't work, a battery was not charged, something was wrong under the hood, or something was wrong with a tire, or something was wrong with the upholstery on the seats. Do you remember the springs that were in old-fashioned cars, and that when the cushions wore down, the springs pressed into your body? Well, my friend's car was so old and so beat up that when you sat in it, you had to put a pillow over the seat. So I'm just trying to paint a picture for you of the car that my friend had. But this friend had a car. And did I tell you before that I did not? And so this friend who had a car, no matter how bad the condition of the car, she had a car. And she, like me, came from Staten Island. And she, like me, on occasion would go home to Staten Island from Stony Brook on Long Island. And so one Saturday morning, we were making the trek from Long Island to Staten Island. And one of the other problems with my friend's car was that the gas meter did not work. Because her gas meter did not work, she never knew how much gas exactly was in the car. Now, what she did was she estimated her gas mileage that she should get, and then she was able to kind of roll the dice in a Russian roulette sort of way on whether or not she could make it to the gas station. This Saturday morning, we did not. On Neskonset Highway, we found ourselves on the side of the road without gas. What should have been a 2-hour trip tops felt like an all-day affair that included pushing this big, heavy jalopy from the road onto the shoulder of the road. It included walking at least a mile down Neskonset Highway to get gas. It included the pain and embarrassment of finding out that she did not have a gas can. You know the regulation gas cans that are generally red with a cap on top. So even as we walked to the gas station, we walked with nothing to put the gas in. We get to the gas station because surely the gas station will sell one such can. Did the gas station have such a can, folks? Of course it didn't. And so we had to walk another mile to the next store where we were able to buy a flower watering pot with a spout that may have held a gallon of gas. But we walked another mile to a store, Could not find a gas can, but we did get a water flowering pot that the gas attendant, when we walked back a mile to the gas station, refused to fill with gas because it's against the law. Thank God for girl tears. We shed enough tears, pled and begged, and he looked the other way as we filled the green flower watering pot with gas. Then we walked slowly and carefully the next mile to the car to put this little bit of gas into the car. Now, in real time, I was frustrated and I was exhausted more by the mental exercise of trying to figure out how we're going to get this car from Long Island to Staten Island. But I must tell you, in retrospect, it is one of the funniest stories that my friend and I tell when we are together. We laugh and laugh about how ridiculous the situation and we were back then. Running out of gas or breaking down happens in life. It also happens sometimes in our spiritual lives as well. Have you ever been in a place in your spiritual journey where you felt like you were running on empty? Have you ever felt like you should be praying more or getting involved more in the life of the church, or perhaps getting involved in a mission project of the church, and yet you couldn't seem to muster up the energy to do so? Have you ever been like me sometimes? You appear to have it all together on the outside. You are doing all the right things. You are saying all the right things. You dress up and put on nice clothes on Sunday morning. You put makeup on your face if you are a woman. You comb your hair and shine your shoes if you are a male. And you come and you present as though you have all the gas that you need to get you through the week. But your soul is on empty. If you've ever felt like that, you are not alone. Last week, we began a new 5-part sermon series, Road Trip, where we will explore what it means for his followers to be on the road with Jesus. Last Sunday, we hit the road in Matthew 28. Jesus told his disciples to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We were reminded when Jesus sends us on the road that we do not go empty-handed. Jesus sends us out with power. He sends us out with the purpose to serve, and Jesus sends us out with his presence. But we hear this week from the book of Acts that even with power, purpose, and Jesus' presence, more is needed. I imagine that as the disciples walked down that mountain back into Jerusalem, they were dismayed. I am sure they tried to conceive of a life without Jesus in it. And as soon as they returned to the city, they set about creating a new normal for themselves. The next chapter, the text in chapter 1 of Acts tells us that they returned to the upper room that they were in after Jesus was crucified. They stayed together in that room and joined in constant prayer. It tells us that upon Peter's suggestion, they cast lots and replaced Judas with Matthias as an apostle. But the text says nothing about new disciple making. The text says nothing about returning to life in the larger Jewish community in Jerusalem. It says nothing about the disciples doing what Jesus called them and us to do, go out and make disciples of all nations. The text says nothing about going on a road trip, let alone about seeing something worth stopping for. Sometimes we get too caught up in our attempts at keeping everything routine. In the church, we go through the motions of nominating new people for new positions of leadership within the church every year. We spend our time together behind these four walls, praying together, worshiping together, and fellowshipping together. Our lives outside of church may mirror that of our lives within the church. We spend time with the same people. We go to the same places. We do all of the same things day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year, until we look around and find ourselves empty, depleted of the power, in denial of our purpose, and desensitized to the presence of Jesus. Like the apostles, we may look around and find ourselves in need of something worth stopping for. Like my friend and I on the road to Staten Island, the disciples needed to refuel. It is here in this place of emptiness that God sent to them the Holy Spirit. With a sweep of wind and a touch of fire, God poured out the Holy Spirit on the empty followers of Jesus. The filling of the Holy Spirit mobilized the apostles to go out into the world filled with the necessities to make the journey. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were able to go out and preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were able to bring 3,000 into the family of faith. Through the Holy Spirit, they were able to venture out of Jerusalem and throughout the ancient world. They were able to go to new places. They were able to meet new people. They were able to fulfill their purpose as set before them by Jesus. Beloved, I don't know if you know it or not, but if we are going to continue the journey that Jesus has called us to, we also need to refuel. The world needs us. There are hurts all around us. The needs are many and the resources to address them seem few. We fight against rampant violence. We fight against food insecurity. We fight against inadequate access to health care for many. We face the threat of recession and another financial collapse. We face desperate human need as the result of natural disaster and human failure. And we face the prospect, whether we want to talk about it or not, but of a day when judgment comes and there are those who will not be in relationship with a God that has promised salvation. We will face a time when those that we love may not be with us in eternity. And God is telling us in this moment that this is important and that this future that we are striving for is worth stopping for right now to refuel so that we might be able to continue the job and journey that God has placed us on. Today's passage reminds us that even as we hit the road to live with purpose and service, some things are worth stopping for. The good news for us this morning is that the Spirit that was sent down on the day of Pentecost is still with the church today. I think one of the problems that we have is that we only hear this scripture on Pentecost. We only hear about the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. But what I want you to know is that every day is Pentecost. Every day the Holy Spirit is upon us. Every day we have access to the fuel that will allow us to carry on. Every day the Spirit is at work within us and in the world. The Spirit that was given to the church as intercessor, guide, and comforter also exists in the world right now. The giving of the Holy Spirit was not a one-time event that led to the birth of the church, but an ongoing, intimate, long-term relationship between humanity and the divine. The Spirit that was given is the same Spirit that hovered over the watery chaos at creation and brought order. It is the same Spirit that interpreted the groans of the children of Israel who labored under Egyptian bondage and brought liberation. It is the same Spirit who heard the cries of all creation and sent salvation through Jesus, who is the Christ. The same Spirit who has encountered the emptiness of creation throughout history continues to meet us in our emptiness and fill us with that which we need to carry on. The same Spirit that dwells among us and intercedes on our behalf, offering the hope that leads to healing, trust that leads to transformation, and power to fulfill our purpose, is still present and active in the lives of each of us and God's church. Don't be afraid if you feel empty right now. We have a divine refueling station that is able and willing to fill us with exactly what we need to fulfill our purpose in the world. It is worth putting our plans on hold for. It is worth changing our course for. And it is that refilling station that is worth stopping for. I confess to Mary and to Lynn before service that I must admit that I am so tired, I am so anxious about the bishop's visit this morning, and I am so depleted that I just want today to be over. I'm sorry. I just want it to be 3 o'clock so that I can go home, get myself a cold glass of lemonade, turn on the television, lay down and relax. I feel empty. And it's times like this, when we feel empty, when we feel worked to the bone, when we feel unheard, when we feel unloved, when we feel lost, that we must stop whatever it is that we are doing and refuel our jalopies. It is times like this that we have to look to the Holy Spirit, who is worth stopping for. It is times like this that we have to look outside of ourselves and search for something long, larger and stronger and more important than anything that we are or will ever do. I am reminded at times like this that I don't make this worthy stop for myself, but that I might continue the work that God has put before me. We make this stop at this refueling station together as a church because all that God has before us cannot be done in our own power. Despite what we would like to sometimes think, we can't live as Jesus' disciples. We can't avoid our human frailty and weakness towards sin. We can't love to the degree that God calls us to. We can't heal the hurting. We can't perform our way into heaven. And we can't live out the Great Commission, Jesus' mission for us in our own strength. On this road trip to making new disciples, let us not forget to make the check-in with the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit of God is worth stopping for. Amen.